This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
For as long as mankind can remember, the written word has served as a portal to incredible knowledge, sometimes passed down over thousands of years. But as enlightening as books can be, there are some you should never, ever read. From ancient tomes supposedly containing black magic to cursed texts that could lead to your demise, keep the lights on bright as we delve into the most mysterious books you should avoid reading at all costs. If you like horror movies, you might have seen Hereditary or The Nun, but did you know that the demonic deviants in those movies come straight out of a real-life book? Yeah. Known as the Lesser Key of Solomon, this infamous tome is probably the most influential grimoire, or book of magic, of its kind. The book is composed of five different texts written across hundreds of years and first appeared as a collection in the 17th century, back when magic was commonly believed to exist. Mysteriously, though, nobody knows who wrote it. What we do know is that the ghastly grimoire contains supposed spells and information on how to summon a whopping 72 demons. That includes King Paimon, the demon from Hereditary, and Valak, who features in The Nun. A nice bit of light reading, then. Seriously, though, why would you summon a demon? Well, they're said to possess great knowledge and power that they can impart with you for a price. And it's usually a big one. You see, demons were believed to be notoriously tricky. One minute you could be hitting up your local fiend for some mad knowledge, and the next, whoopsie, you just got possessed. Apparently, a 14th century French monk named John of Morigny devoutly followed the teachings of one of the texts in the Lesser Key. Rather than receiving knowledge or wisdom, however, he was cursed with horrific demonic visions. Yikes. The monk was so traumatized that he wrote his own manuscript warning people to stay away from the text. Even if you're not planning on messing with any magic, though, you should still steer clear. People who merely read the original manuscript have reported the book's pages turning by itself and ghostly figures appearing to torment them. Yeah, I'll just stick to my copy of The Very Hungry Caterpillar, thanks. You've probably heard of the gospel. You know, Christianity's ultimate message of Jesus Christ's love. Aw, how wholesome. But there's another gospel too, and it's not quite as friendly. The Grand Grimoire, aka the Gospel of Satan, is an unsettling text supposedly written back in 1520 by a man named Honorius of Thebes, who just so happened to be possessed by the devil. As you can imagine then, it doesn't contain a great bundt cake recipe. Instead, the Grand Grimoire goes into great detail, claiming how every new pope is systematically corrupted by the devil, and also gives the reader the tools to summon Lucifer themselves. Some versions even contain instructions for necromancy, that is, the resurrection of the dead. Jeepers. As such, the book is regarded as one of the most powerful black magic tomes in existence. Seriously, just opening it is apparently akin to signing your soul to the devil. Needless to say, that's not the best career move. While you can buy copies of Satan's Gospel, these imitations allegedly don't have nearly the power of the original. In fact, the original text is so dangerous, it's locked away in the Vatican secret archives. That's right, it might sound like something out of the Da Vinci Code, but incredibly, it's true. On the bright side, that'll definitely make it easier for you to keep your mitts off it. I love a good adventure story. So if I didn't know much about the Spanish adventure novel An Orphan Story, or Historia del Huérfano, I might pick it up for a read. But I do know about it, so I definitely won't. That's because despite being written way back in the 17th century, it remained unpublished for 400 years, supposedly due to a curse that struck down anyone who tried to do so. Ooh, spooky. When Peruvian academic Belinda Palacios found out about the archived manuscript in 2016, however, She was determined to translate its handwritten words and type them out for a modern audience. I wouldn't have been so keen. As well as the original author's failed attempt to publish their work, subsequent tries by different people had all ended in tragedy. One caught a strange disease, another had a car accident, and yet another had their life cut short from a mysterious, unknown cause. Geez, that's not very inspiring, is it? Indeed, the reports worried Palacios so much she asked her friend to burn the manuscript if anything happened to her. Even so, she kept plugging away at it, and her efforts paid off. It was officially published in 2018 without anybody suffering any harm. So it seems the curse has been broken at long last. That said, I still wouldn't risk giving this one a read. Give it a decade or so, then we'll know for sure. It can be incredibly exciting to discover a long-lost piece of literature. As recently as 2019, a religious text known as the Smuggler's Psalter was recovered after nearly 300 years in the ocean. Despite residing on a ship that had long been sunk, it was found preserved inside a tin can, meaning miraculously it's still readable. Some lost books, however, should stay lost, like the Roskina. This unassuming tome was written by an Icelandic monk named Gottskalk Nicholson, who supposedly filled it with evil magic, ultimately seeking to bend the devil to his will and rule the world. Yikes. Luckily, he didn't get his wish, and when he passed in 1520, the grisly grimoire was buried with him. A couple of hundred years later, however, a shady Icelandic mage called Lufter heard about the book and wanted to learn its dark secrets himself. So he traveled to its burial place, a cathedral school in Holar where Gottskalk had been bishop. Now it gets really wild. According to the legend, Lufter managed to summon the departed monk's spirit and demanded he hand over the Roskina. His mission was almost a success when a student standing in the belfry noticed the ghoulish scene. Wasting no time, he rang the church bells, dissipating the spirit. Lofter fled, but was taken by the sea on his journey home and dragged to the underworld in retaliation for his arrogance. As for the book, some say it was burned after the fiasco, but others are convinced it's still out there, maybe just waiting to be fished up like the Smuggler's Psalter. Now I think it's fair to say most of this is probably just a myth, but I'm not gonna go looking for the Roskina to find out. Man, that Satan sure does get around. I thought him penning one book was unlikely, but two? As well as his own gospel, he's apparently also responsible for the Codex Gigas, or Devil's Bible. At 3 feet tall and a whopping 165 pounds in weight, I don't envy whoever lugged it to its current home at the National Library of Sweden. But its size isn't even half of what makes this book so interesting. The tale goes that back in the 13th century in what's now the Czech Republic, a Benedictine monk named Herman Hermetus was found guilty of sinning. Because of this, he was sentenced to be walled up alive. Just before the last brick was placed, however, he begged for mercy. So the head monk offered old Herman a deal. If he could transcribe all of the world's knowledge into one book in a single night, he'd be spared. Right. Knowing this would be impossible, Herman desperately prayed to the devil for help. To his shock, it worked. Out Satan popped and agreed to write the rest of the book for him, possibly by possessing the monk to write at superhuman speeds. In exchange, he only asked for one thing, Herman's soul. And apparently a nice portrait. Fair enough. The next day, the head monk checked in on Herman and was astonished that the task had been completed. Regardless of how likely this story is, the tome itself is very real, and it's undoubtedly impressive. It contains the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, various historical accounts, and instructions for casting spells and exorcisms, amongst other things. But the sheer amount of stuff in here means it should have taken at least 20 years to finish. Judging by the handwriting, the book does appear to have been penned by one hand. Normally, though, people's handwriting changes with age, yet there's zero evidence of that happening here. Could it really have been written in just one night? What's more, the last 12 pages of the Codex are torn out, leading people to suspect they contain the very prayer Herman used to summon the devil. Ugh, could the legends be true? If so, who knew Satan was such a prolific ghostwriter? I love a good crossword, but I'll admit they can stump me sometimes. For John Dee, though, advisor to Britain's Queen Elizabeth I, crosswords were the least of his problems. You see, back in the 1580s, John came into the possession of the Book of Soiga, a Latin treatise on demonology and magic. At the time, many people believed in magic, so he thought the book could be very useful. The only problem? The final 36 pages were written in code. Desperate to uncover the knowledge hidden within, John worked tirelessly to try and crack the code, but nothing seemed to work. Supposedly, he even summoned the Archangel Uriel to ask for their help. However, Uriel told him something horrifying. The book was cursed, and anybody who managed to decipher its meaning would pass away 2.5 years later. Apparently, disregarding the spooky threat, though, John carried on trying for the rest of his life, to no avail. Then the book mysteriously vanished. Until, that is, nearly 400 years later, when a historian dug out a copy from a pile of dusty books in London's British Library. Despite the book's dark reputation, codebreakers and historians got to work trying to decipher it. But it was another 12 years until the code was eventually broken in 2006. One Jim Reeds cracked it, revealing the previously hidden names of a variety of demons, angels, and magical incantations. So, what happened to Jim? Thankfully, he's fine, but many people still believe the curse is real and say it only smites those who understand the true meaning of the text, not just read its words. I don't know, but ignorance is probably bliss in this case. Don't get me wrong, coming up with titles for stuff is hard. You wouldn't believe how long I spent coming up with mine. Well, Wiccan High Priestess Persephone Adrastea Irene obviously had the same issue back in the 1960s because she left her grimoire mysteriously untitled. Wicca is a form of modern witchcraft, usually organized into covens or groups of practitioners. As High Priestess, Persephone was top dog of one of those covens. So, as you can probably guess, she was incredibly powerful, at least if you believe in all this stuff. Her grimoire doesn't just contain spells and curses, though. It's also got a family history in it, and a recipe for hairspray. I guess even powerful witches need to keep their mop in check. Before you hop onto eBay looking for one of these, though, don't. They're cursed. Of course. Indeed, the book contains this eerie warning scrawled across its cover in a suspiciously red ink.
To those not of the craft, the reading of this book is forbidden. Proceed no further, or justice will exact a swift and terrible retribution, and you will surely suffer at the hand of the craft.
Okay. What exactly that terrible retribution would be, who knows? There are no recorded incidents of non-Wiccans reading the book, but maybe that's because they weren't around long enough to tell the tale. Even so, the original manuscripts were sold in 2013 for a whopping $13,865. So someone was very eager to check them out. Sounds like a lot of money to pay for a book you'll only read once, though. Back in 1919, a seemingly ordinary poetry collection named Sakin was released in Japan. The author, one Saijo Yaso, was known for producing children's nursery rhymes, so everybody assumed this latest book would follow in the same vein. Yet nestled within its pages was a poem so twisted, so horrifying that it inspired a spine-chilling legend. The poem, called Tomino's Hell, tells the bleak, traumatic story of a young child named Tomino. Supposedly, Yaso was inspired to write it when he lost a loved one. But though the circumstances are sad, the legend around the poem is downright terrifying. Apparently, reading it out loud directly causes your demise. In 1974, Japanese poet and director Teruyama Tsuji released a movie inspired by the poem, and sure enough, met his untimely end only a few years later. Many other readers are said to have passed from illness, accidents, and sudden, inexplicable causes, too. Not that everyone who reads it kicks the bucket, but there are usually consequences. Survivors of the poem's curse have complained of a lingering, eerie feeling that they just can't shake. If for some reason you're still desperate to read this thing, though, silently doing so inside your head apparently protects you from the worst effects. I mean, all this is probably just a load of baloney, right? But on the off chance it isn't, I'm not reading that poem anytime soon. Even if you're not a fan of spooky stuff, you might still have heard of the Necronomicon. Created by horror author H.P. Lovecraft, it's a famous fictional spellbook detailing a pantheon of evil deities and how to contact them. Despite being fictional, it's proven highly influential and even inspired people to make their own twisted versions of their grimoire. Unbeknownst to most people though, the Necronomicon is based on a real book, known as the Pseudo-Monarchia Daemonum, or the False Monarchy of Demons. The real-life inspiration is a compendium of 69 demons and how to contact them. This might sound familiar, and it should. The 16th century book inspired many infamous grimoires like The Lesser Key of Solomon. That said, this Tome of Terrors is probably a mockery of demons, not a glorification. Its author, a magician called Johann Weyer, believed their powers paled in comparison to the divine, hence labeling them a false monarchy. He also believed anyone who'd summon a demon to be the worst kind of magician. So perhaps he wrote the book to ensure anyone who tried would get their comeuppance when their shady demonic dealings inevitably went wrong. That still doesn't explain where Weyer got all his dark knowledge from in the first place, though. Had he summoned a demon to attain it? That'd be some twist. Lady Luck can be a fickle mistress, but she can also be downright evil. Enter the curse of the Great Omar. The what? Well, in the early 1900s, London bookbinding company Sangorsky & Sutcliffe decided to create a gorgeous version of a book by Edward Fitzgerald known as The Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. The bookbinders were passionate about the project, working hard until 1911 when they finally finished the manuscript. At first, it seemed the work had paid off. It was the most detailed, lavish, expensive book they'd ever created. I'm talking covered in over 1,000 jewels lavish. In a final symbol of excess, the cover was adorned with three peacocks representing royalty and earning it the nickname the Great Omar. But whilst peacocks are a symbol of royalty, their feathers are associated with bad luck. Sure enough, despite its beauty, Sangorsky and Sutcliffe found it maddeningly difficult to actually sell their creation. Eventually, the book was put up for auction and sold for £450, the equivalent of a whopping $76,500 today. Even so, this was less than half of what the bookbinders had hoped for. Anyway, the book was all set to be shipped off to its buyer in New York in a lovely new boat named the Titanic. Oh. Yeah, the ship went down and the book sunk to the bottom of the sea where it remains to this day. Then, just a few weeks later, Sangorsky drowned whilst at the beach with his family. Damn. Sutcliffe, however, committed to making a second copy, one just as lavish. This time he stored it in a secure vault in London. But guess what? It was destroyed during the Blitz of World War II. Jeez. Unsurprisingly, by this point, people suspected the book was cursed. Yet in spite of all this bad fortune, Sutcliffe's nephew took it upon himself to finish a third version. That one's thus far avoided disaster and now resides in the British Library. Let's hope it stays there. Egypt is a fascinating place, teeming with history, but it's not often we associate it with spell books and wizards. According to one text penned in 1458, however, magic was a big part of proceedings. Catchily titled The Book of the Sacred Magic of Abramelin the Mage, it tells the supposedly true story of an Egyptian mage, as well as serving as a spell book. Unfortunately, it's also very, very cursed. Simply owning the tome is enough to apparently bring demons from other realms to haunt and curse you with severe bad luck. I'm talking about kicking the bucket levels of bad luck. That said, believers are divided on this one. Some do subscribe to the idea that the book is cursed, while others say it's no riskier than any other book of magic. Either way, my ethos is to steer clear of any book that might carry a risk of, you know, haunting you. Alright, so we've seen some pretty freaky books so far, but at least we could understand those ones. Back in 1912, Polish bibliophile Wilfred Voynich discovered a book so mysterious it still has people scratching their heads today. Now known as the Voynich Manuscript, Wilfred found it in a college just outside of Rome and was immediately struck by its oddness. It's not surprising, the entire 240-page document is written in an unknown language that's proven utterly indecipherable to this day. There's no credited author, and what's more, seriously strange illustrations adorn many of the pages. I'm talking extinct or made-up plants, strange organic machinery, and women in their birthday suits bathing in the plants. Right. The wacky book's been dated back to the 15th century, but that's pretty much all we know for sure. Many have tried to decipher it, but none have succeeded. Some even believe the manuscript contains some kind of forbidden knowledge, and that cracking the code will cast a fatal curse on the code breaker. Ugh. Cursed or not, there's no doubt the whole situation is weird. Could it be a simple hoax? Did aliens visit and leave it behind? Or is it something else? When it comes to books you should avoid reading, I bet you didn't think I'd mention a home remedy book, right? Yet The Long-Lost Friend, published in 1820, is just such a book, albeit with a few spells thrown in for good measure. You see, back in 1928, a Pennsylvanian witch convinced a local villager named John Blymire that he'd been cursed, and told him the perpetrator was another local called Nelson Raymire. Apparently, he'd used a copy of The Long-Lost Friend to perform the curse. At first, Blymire had rejected the witch. Raymire was a well-liked healer who'd even patched Blymire up in the past. But Raymire had been going through a period of bad luck, and the witch was convincing. So eventually, he accepted her words and set out to break the curse. Blymire and two of his friends broke into Raymire's house, took his life, and attempted to burn the house down with the book inside it. Jeez. Only the house didn't actually burn down, leading some to blame the power of the magical text inside. This only fueled the rumors that Raymire had been up to no good, something I'm sure the witch was happy about. Whether she'd actually believed Raymire to be malevolent or not, we can't be sure, but I reckon she had a grudge on him for some reason. Regardless, his old house still stands today and is spookily known as Hex Hollow. Even spookier, the clocks inside are all stopped at a minute past midnight, the exact time Nelson closed his eyes for good. As such, many consider the place haunted. If the legends are true, that fishy copy of The Long-Lost Friend is still out there, maybe even in that same house. And no, I wouldn't try and find it. If you really want to read it, grab a copy with a less tainted history. As we've seen, messing around with old grimoires is generally a bad idea. If you believe the legends, possessions, hauntings, or even an early demise could await a reckless reader. The Munich Manual of Demonic Magic, however, is a 15th century spell book that could be far more dangerous for guys than girls. Girl power, am I right? Most magical texts from the time feature a combination of angelic and demonic magic, but this one's purely about the dark side. So you might imagine it'd be equally dangerous for everybody, regardless of gender. The thing is, one of the most powerful spells it contains involves creating a mirror of Lilith, used for conjuring the demon of the same name. According to Judaic and Mesopotamian mythology, Lilith was the first wife of Adam and was cast out from the Garden of Eden for not obeying her husband. From there on, she became a demon. As such, she can be pretty spiky, especially towards men that summon her without proper reason. I like to think I'm a hit with the ladies, but even I might struggle this time. The original manuscript is written in Latin and tucked away in Munich's Bavarian State Library, but you can check out a translated edition online. Not that I recommend it. Dealing with my stepmom is bad enough without having an actual demon on my back, too. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you again next time you want to be amazed.